This conference will now be recorded.
I will call to order the Wednesday, November 4th, 2020, Willmar Planning Commission meeting. The first item on the agenda is the minutes of the October 22nd, 2020 meeting.
Motion to approve, Joe.
Motion made. Is there a second?
I'm sorry, I was muted. I second.
Any discussion? Seeing and hearing none. This is a roll call vote.
Just one question.
Oh, yes.
On page 2, item 4, fifth paragraph. Is that an intended statement? Reserved for tenants making a maximum of 8% of the area median income?
I bet that's supposed to be 80.
Oh, good catch.
Thank you. No other comments.
All right, we can go forward with the vote pending that correction. Is that right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so this is a roll call vote. Steve.
Aye.
Stephanie.
Oh, Stephanie, aye.
Cletus.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
John.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, motion carries. Minutes are approved. The next item on the agenda is, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing, the Myers Addition Minor Subdivision. I'll let Sarah introduce that.
Perfect. Our first item tonight is an item that Planning Commission actually back in 2012 reviewed. This item was never, so the plat itself was approved by Planning Commission back when they reviewed it, but the plat itself was never recorded at the county and therefore was considered a dead plat after no action for a year. The applicant is present, Cecil Meyer, and he has the desire to bring this back to the commission, request the same thing. There's no changes to what commission reviewed last time. Currently, what exists is two parcels. Realizing I didn't include a map of what that looks like right now. The line, so if you're looking on page 7 of your packet on the preliminary plat, the current line that exists, the two western structures are actually on one parcel together. And then the apartment complex on the east side of this block, and then there's some vacant land just west of that, that is all on one parcel. So this plat would kind of divide, there would be a couple of splits and then some combinations that would happen to create three different parcels on this. This whole area is zoned central business district, so there are 0-foot side yard and front yard setback requirements. So all of the setbacks and minimum lot sizes, all of that kind of stuff is met, which is a change from last time when this first came before Planning Commission in 2012. This was all zoned limited business, and so there were some nonconformities, but they weren't being increased, and so therefore the Planning Commission went forward with approving it. So at this time, all of those issues have actually been resolved because of the expansion of the Central Business District zone. The one concern, as with last time, that there is with this item is that the apartment complex is actually going to lose some parking. Now, because it's Central Business District, technically, Technically, the apartment doesn't need any parking. It's not required by zoning ordinance. However, it would be staff recommendation to see some sort of joint parking agreement and access easement be filed with the plat. That is the one condition on this minor subdivision that staff is recommending. Other than that, there's really not, it's really just reconfiguration of lot lines to make that middle parcel and that middle house more attractive and sellable. Should that be pursued in the future? Cecil is present, like I mentioned, if there are any questions for him. Otherwise, I'll pass it back to you, Christina.
Thank you. Cletus, yes.
I have a question for Mr. Meyer. Is the recommendation made by the city acceptable to you as the applicant?
Yes, it would be. Yeah, we've already talked with the parties next door, and so that will happen. So.
Okay, thank you, Cecil. That's all I have.
Yeah.
All right, commissioners, any other questions or concerns about? Steve?
I'll make the motion to approve the plan review permit with the condition referencing the joint parking agreement and access easement.
Thank you. And seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing and hearing none, before we do a roll call vote on this, I do need to read the affirmative findings of fact, which I need to re-pull up again. Just one second here. I'm on a smaller screen today, so please excuse me. I have to move stuff around. Applicable findings. In reviewing major or minor subdivision applications under this ordinance, the Planning Commission and City Council shall consider all aspects of the proposed subdivision. Particular attention shall be paid to the width and location of streets, sidewalks, suitable sanitary utilities, surface drainage, lot sizes and arrangements, as well as requirements such as parks and playgrounds, schools, recreation sites, and other public uses when applicable. All of the following findings shall be made prior to the approval of the subdivision. All applicable provisions of the municipal code and ordinances are complied with, including but not limited to the zoning and stormwater ordinances. There is no factual demonstration of a substantial, appreciable negative impact to the present and potential surrounding land uses. The area surrounding the subdivision can be planned and developed in coordination and compatibility with the proposed subdivision. The subdivision is consistent with the city comprehensive plan. The subdivision preserves and incorporates the site's important existing natural, scenic, and historic features to the greatest extent possible. All land intended for building sites can be used safely without endangering the residents by peril from floods, erosions, continuously high water table, severe soil conditions, or other menace. The subdivision can feasibly be served with public facilities, infrastructure, and services, and the developer will satisfy this ordinance's requirements for the construction of such public facilities and infrastructure. Okay, with that, this is again a roll call vote. Stephanie. Cleet.
Approved.
Jeff.
Aye.
John.
Aye.
Steve.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion is approved. Thank you, Cecil, very much. You're welcome to stay if you would like.
I will probably depart at this point in time. I have a couple other things I need to do. You people are awesome people and I'd love to stay, but I do need to move on. Thank you.
Fair enough. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
You bet. Bye.
All right. Next item on the agenda is the Renaissance Zone text amendment continued. Before we continue, do we need to vote to untable?
Correct. Good catch.
Yes, Steve.
Madam Chair, I'll move to bring the item back from the table.
Motion made.
I'll second.
And seconded. We again need to roll call vote on this one. Cletus.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
John. He's giving a thumbs up. That would be an aye. Steve.
Aye.
Stephanie.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion is back on the floor. Where this item is back on the floor. Yes, Steve.
Sarah, can you kind of go over the, I know they're in the notes, but just kind of visit a little bit about the bullet points under item two
in particular, absolutely.
Just briefly.
Yeah,
just to,
sure thing.
Just to reintroduce the topic again.
Absolutely. So last time we introduced this new ordinance, the Renaissance Zone text amendment. I know there's a couple of commissioners that weren't here last time. So this is going to be back earlier this year. We created this new section in the zoning ordinance to create this overlay district for the Renaissance Zone. The majority of our conversation really was framed around the affordable housing component of this ordinance. The way this overlay works or will work is that there are a number of incentives that property owners within the designated Renaissance Zone, there are a couple maps included in your packet. So it's the area within the gray box that's all colored in. So that area, any property owners, there's already some incentives for reduction of city fees, like permit fees and different things. But we're also adding in this ability kind of for what this concept we're calling open zoning, which means that interested developers, interested property owners, new or existing, can come in with creative project proposals that might not normally meet the underlying or current zoning standards, but would meet some of these other goals that we have for the Renaissance Zone. And those goals were already established. The plan and the procedure which this new amendment does to expand upon this overlay, the creation of this overlay, is to kind of set a rubric so that when we're looking at these creative kind of non-traditional developments or uses in this area, we're not that they're objective, that we're not being as subjective when the Planning Commission and City Council are reviewing these kind of special conditional use permits. When a project that has a multifamily housing component, as we discussed last time, so this would mean any project that has at least four units. So it wouldn't apply to single, duplex, or triplex structures, then some of these requirements for affordable housing might kick in if they're interested in additional incentives above and beyond the permit reductions that you would see with the Renaissance Zone. So that might be TIF, it might be tax abatement, some of these other incentives. So what we've done that is different, we've kind of, in the staff comments, we highlighted some of the major changes that we've created around and because of the discussion we had at our last meeting. So one of the major changes is we actually pulled the affordable housing component out of this overlay district and included it in section 8 of the zoning ordinance, which is our performance standards. It's still bound to, there's a description in there that binds it to the Renaissance Zone area only. However, what this does is this means that even after the five-year Renaissance Zone pilot program, this affordable housing component specifically in this area, which is our lowest income census tract, would continue to have this affordable housing component requirement for developments that have four or more units. In that case, we require, so the requirement itself is that there's a minimum affordable housing requirement of 5% or one unit, whichever is greater. To ensure that the housing projects in the entire neighborhoods are not developed exclusively for one economic class, in this case, some sort of income restricted class, we have a maximum limit of 25% affordable housing in each of these projects. So we'd want all new multifamily housing to fit within this 5 to 25% affordable housing range, which means that we're trying to really encourage this idea of having kind of all areas of the city available for living for all different types of people. We would also want it to be noted that these units, for these affordable housing units, would not be segregated in one building or in one floor or in one area. We want them spread out. After review of some AMI based, and Dave can talk a little bit more technologically about these than perhaps I can, but after review and talking with the HRA a little bit, staff are proposing that the FHA fair market rents be used, which are posted on the HUD's website. And there's a couple of links that I sent you about 30 minutes before this meeting that kind of show you where those pieces are. We didn't include the links themselves in the ordinance because links can change, but in some of our applications and language and narratives that we have on our website, we'll include those links. This greatly simplifies the process and just makes it transparent and evenly applied to all projects. As discussed, the restrictive covenant would be memorialized for a term of 15 years for every property. So after 15 years, this requirement would be lifted from those properties. And that would, you know, be then for anything that went into effect during the five-year pilot program of the Renaissance Zone. In the event that the Renaissance Zone goes away and this component stays, any new projects, even beyond that 5 years, would still be that 15-year term. The affordable units will be available to households making 80% or less of the area's median income, as defined again by FHA HUD's website. Restatement of the requirements for landlords to comply with non-discrimination laws, as stipulated in Title 8 of the Civil Rights Act. Requirements remain that owners of the redeveloped and renovated sites containing existing below market housing, they have to provide relocation or temporary accommodations for those existing household owners or tenants during that kind of displacement of the project's construction, if it's kind of a backfill or infill sort of situation. And then those tenants must have the first right of refusal for the replacement units that are being built in that location. Looks like Dave has some comments, so I will pass it over to Dave.
Thanks, Sarah. Good job. I'll just touch base on the FMR a little bit more. So as Sarah said, the qualifier is for any household that is at or under 80% area median income. Again, is defined on the HUD website, so it's perfectly clear. There's no misunderstanding or miscalculations or, you know, five different people's different versions of it. The FMR, on the other hand, is the restriction on the unit that the developer decides is going to be the affordable unit as part of their tax abatement or TIF agreement. And that essentially, when it comes all right down to it, if you've looked at what current market rents are in Wilmer, and what the FMR rents are that are posted on HUD's website, it essentially comes down to like a 10% discount. And that 10% discount would remain, and it rides with the land. And whether or not the tenant's income goes higher or lower or whatever, it's not tied to them. It's tied to the unit. So the rent would stay at that same FMR rate. So I just want to make sure.
All right, thank you. Any discussion from the commissioners? If not, I would entertain a motion at this time.
I have a discussion here.
Okay.
I'm on page 2 of the ordinance. Housing plan requirements, paragraph 3, section 3. Subparagraph B. I'm not sure that makes sense. At least it isn't making sense to my reading. Is there some clarification, Mr. Scott?
Thank you, Chair, Commission. I actually just noticed the exact same language issue looking at this during this meeting, and I can only guess I must have made a cut and paste or editing error that I didn't catch. There's clearly a verb missing. So this is the requirement that no more than 25% of the units in a new project be devoted to affordable housing or reserved for affordable housing. I actually think that language should be, instead of devote, I think it should read shall not designate. So the full language, and Dave, jump in if you think I don't quite have this right, but I think it should read, no new construction or renovation that changes the prior occupancy or use of a building to multifamily housing of 4 units or more shall designate, should be that language, more than 25% of its units for affordable housing units.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Going to subparagraph C, I think you have a typo there too with the word own in the second line. Should be one.
The intent is that they don't segregate the units onto a single floor. So I guess it could say onto a single floor wing.
Replacing the word own with, or replacing the two words their own with a single makes sense.
Okay. Got it.
And then just for clarification, moving to subparagraph D, this may be Mr. Ramstad, could you please again explain that paragraph so that it sinks in.
So let's say that a particular project is required to have 3 affordable units because of its size, and they're getting a tax abatement on the project. So they would have to designate 3 units. Those units would be tied to the land. They'd be recorded at the recorder's office. And that the term of those units being designated affordable would be 15 years.
Excuse me, Dave. No, I'm referring to subparagraph D as in dog.
Oh, okay. This is what I mentioned before. If the rent restriction is attached to the unit, it is not attached to the household. So if the household's income were to ever change significantly during the occupancy of that unit, it does not impact the rent.
The rent being paid by that particular occupant?
The rent being paid by that occupant, right. The rent would stay the same. That is determined by as FMR.
Okay, now just for clarification, so I understand this. If I move into one of these units and qualify for the 10% reduction in rent, and I hit the lottery and make $1 million, and I continue to live there, I still end up taking advantage of that reduced rent.
Right, we cannot evict them.
Thank you.
But that rate remains the same. The
correct.
That discounted rate is with that unit regardless of changes up or down to individual or family occupant.
Correct. That is a challenge with any kind of rent restrictions that you have in any city. So it's kind of par for the course. It's rare, but it does happen.
When you read subparagraph F, which follows, isn't this saying that the owner of the development has to readjust rents annually?
Yes, that's also true. They're going to adjust the rent to the new FMR. So in 2020, the FMR rent is set at whatever it's set at per the HUD website. And then in 2021, the next FMRs come out and the landlord can reset at that next level. That way the rents are not stagnant. They move with the market.
Thank you, Dave. I think that covers my comment.
Mr. Scott, did you have a comment?
I just wanted to make one more comment to make sure the commission understands. And I'm not going to repeat what Sarah and Dave summarized very well, but I just want to make sure that I may have missed it, but I don't think it was specifically highlighted that the affordable housing requirements that we've been discussing would be triggered. So they're going to be moved into the normal zoning ordinance. One of the reasons to do that is so that they will not expire should the Renaissance Zone Overlay District itself be allowed to expire. So this will be right in your base zoning ordinance now, although it will be restricted to the same geographic area as the Renaissance Zone. The second thing is the affordable housing requirements will be triggered by any project that receives financial assistance in the form of tax increment or tax abatement. So if there's a completely self-sufficient project that does not seek city assistance, it can proceed without satisfying these requirements under this language. And that's, I think that's the only additional comment I had.
I'll add to that a little bit too. In part of doing that structure too, of bringing it into the base zoning code instead of in the Renaissance Zone overlay section, in the event that in the future, say this pilot goes really well and the commission wants to expand it or change that geographical boundary, it will be a simple change of the description of the area that this applies to. So it makes it a little bit easier to kind of manipulate and maneuver in the future should there be any changes that the commission desires.
And then I just want to reemphasize that the odds of a tenant's income status changing dramatically is pretty rare. And also Multifamily housing projects, large ones at least, are, I mean, they almost invariably have TIF or tax abatements or other forms of subsidies to make their numbers work, at least initially, because the construction costs are so high, in order to make their income expenses become a wash. But so, you know, we've got two housing projects that just are built or being built, and both of them received incentives to do so. So most of the projects will fall under this category where they're going to be required to provide the affordable housing component.
Yes, Steve.
Thank you, Christina. I want to thank Sarah and Dr. Ramstad and Mr. Scott for their work on. I think you've summarized very well the concerns that we tried to express 2 weeks ago regarding the issues, and I'm grateful for that. I'm on page 8. This is section 6, the item about ineligible uses. Sarah, you can maybe help me with this. 6G, this one happens to revolve around solid waste collection and recycling facilities for metal, glass, paper, wood, etc. Some of the members who've been on the commission for a while will recall that there is an area over on the east side of Highway 12, north of Highway 12, east of 71, that we had someone ask about a rezone at one point in time, and that revolved around some sort of recycling and parting out facility. Sarah, is it staff's intent, or I'm not sure what the word is, that something like that would actually be covered under that 6G?
Correct. Yeah, something like that. Here's the caveat again. Remember that if there was an industrial, there is a little portion of industrially zoned property in the Renaissance Zone, which is north of Benson Avenue in that area that you're talking about. It's around like 6th Street to, what would that be like? Probably like 6th to 3rd Street, southwest or southeast, excuse me, in Benson Avenue, right along the train tracks. If a business wanted to go in that location and the underlying zone was industrial as it is right now, and they could satisfy all of the requirements of that underlying industrially zoned area, that could continue, and they would meet that underlying zoning. This, if they wanted to pursue TIF or tax abatement under the Renaissance Zone or some sort of, you know, this kind of special conditional use permit under the Renaissance Zone rules, that's when a project like that would not be allowed. Does that make sense?
So if they're financing it on their own.
If they're financing it on their own and the underlying zoning, all of the underlying zoning standard zoning requirements are met, then that project could continue.
As I recall, that particular rezone request revolved a property that was commercial, and they wanted to be zoned industrial, and that would have actually, I remember, I brought them right out on the front of Highway 12 with that.
Correct. Yep.
I don't think, if I recall correctly, the commission didn't think much of the idea.
No. Correct. Yep. So in that case, if they wanted to go in that location, they would have to pursue that rezoning. And yeah, the commission has made it pretty clear that that is not going to be approved.
Right. And I'm not saying it applies to this specific project. I just bring it up as an example of what we previously talked about.
Absolutely. Yep.
Stephanie, yes.
Hi, I'm right there at section 6, letter A, adult uses. Does that include things like liquor sales, bar activity, or are we talking a bit more salacious activities than that?
More salacious. yeah, we have a whole section in the zoning ordinance that regulates those type of adult uses. Again, if they were able to meet those underlying requirements, not seeking Renaissance zone incentives and various things, that might be possible. That ordinance is pretty tight. So I haven't seen one in the time I've been here, at least.
Okay, thank you.
Sarah, is that term defined in the ordinance, adult use?
Yeah, in the zoning ordinance itself, yeah. It's defined and there's a whole standard section on it.
Mm-hmm. I think it includes the actual term salacious. Triple word score.
Yes, Steve.
So what we're looking for here then is a motion to, where is it?
Would be a motion to approve the zoning ordinance amendment and to forward to City Council for their review.
That's what I was looking for. I would make that motion.
With the corrections that we've discussed.
Yes.
Motion's been made. Is there a second? I believe John yeah. Seconds.
Yeah. Sorry.
Any further discussion? Seeing and hearing none, this is once more a roll call vote. Jeff.
Aye.
John.
Aye.
Steve.
Aye.
Stephanie.
Aye.
Cletus.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion is approved. Thank you all very much for good work all around.
Thank you for diligently looking through all this with us too.
Thank you.
All right, next item would be miscellany. Sarah, is there any miscellany?
I don't have any for you. It looks like maybe Dave has some though.
So I just want to follow up on the Renaissance Zone a little bit and provide you with some information on next steps and some things that we'll be doing. You know, if you look at the Renaissance overlay map that Sarah provided to you, you'll see a red rectangle that is the central business district, and that is our heritage zone district. And then you'll see a number of parcels that have light gray on them, and these are just some preliminary residential properties in the surrounding area that Sarah and I personally just determined as being architecturally significant. They're not designated as heritage properties, they're just a preliminary list, so to speak. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be creating fact sheets on each of these properties. And then we'll be coming to the Planning Commission and committee to get these things kind of certified as being eligible for the owners to voluntarily join the Heritage Program. And in return, they will be given preferential treatment for getting the storefront incentive, which is a matching loan and grant to do some work on their home. Same thing goes for the commercial properties inside the Heritage District. Now, the one thing that, in addition, that the Heritage District has is that it has restrictions on new construction having to be contextual. And that's all part of the evaluation process, which you saw, but you have a copy of the rubric. And again, the rubric is kind of preliminary. You know, it's like every battle plan, as soon as you go into battle, it changes. So we foresee that review form, you know, being developed and modified over time. The other thing that we're gonna be working on is a hospital downtown hotel RFP. And we haven't really started it yet. It's really kind of sketchy at the moment. But the idea is that a kind of a boutique hotel, maybe 20, 30 rooms, a few stories tall, that probably would have long-term, short-term housing to make it kind of a more economically viable, because we've had a couple conversations with some developers, and that's sort of the trend now. There is one in Sioux Falls attached to their hospital, which is almost identical to what we would hope to see, and it's the same brick color and everything as our hospital. But the idea is that this place would be conducive to gurneys. The elevator would be gurney sized. The doors in and out of the rooms would be gurney sized, and it'd be perhaps attached to the, well, it would be attached to the hospital by a skyway or perhaps a tunnel. And we're looking at whether the city would own that component or not. And we're gonna need to look at all the costs and things like that, but there's also gonna need a, and then part of the RFP is gonna, they're gonna have to provide a market study. And obviously the current hotel chain owners in Wilmer will be, you know, they'll be fully capable or allowed to apply for this thing, which would have, as I see it, at least preliminarily, is it would have everything in the kitchen sink from the Renaissance zone attached to it. So they would get the full gamut if they were to come in and do this. So that's something else to look forward to probably in the next month or so. Hopefully by the end of the year, we'll have something. And one of the maps that Sarah prepared actually has some asterisks for some that we thought were some potential sites for that hotel to occur. I think that's it for our Renaissance zone. Miss Laney, pass it back to Sarah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, if I can just maybe ask a question and then a comment. Dave, what I think I'm hearing you say is that these gray shaded properties, these are just preliminarily selected. If there's a property owner who right now it's not in gray and they think it has some significance, they can apply to the city to get that designation?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, other people can nominate your home, and then we would notify that homeowner. And then they could choose to accept the nomination or decline it.
Mm-hmm. And then just a comment. Of course, I think most of you know I probably put 50 miles on my feet over the last week or so of the election over in this area. This is almost entirely District 2. And there's some really neat houses, and there's a lot of stuff there that needs some work, and that's why I think this Renaissance zone is going to be a great thing for this area. If people are able to see the value in it, I think you're going to see some nice things happen over here. And here and elsewhere in town, I can't tell you how many really small houses I came across. You'll recall our tiny home discussion. Quite a number of different places. I took pictures of some of them. I gave them to Sarah, and you can easily see on some of them where they were small then and they're small now, and others that they've maybe added on to. But it started out as this really small little shell. And that's the way that older housing stock was built back in the day. And people added on to it as they could afford. So a lot of neat stuff out there. And I'll be more than happy to take anybody on a walk as long as it's not during a blizzard, and point out some of the places I saw.
Congrats, Steve.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff, do you have a comment?
Yeah, Dave, on my few opportunities or whatever to stay at Rice Hospital overnight, it seems like there's just not a whole lot of, I mean, you can walk for floor to floor to before you find other patients. I know it would be a nice hospital thing for like people that are coming in for early morning surgeries the next night and stuff like that, but is there any kind of an idea of how many actual like out of town people that on some kind of an average basis that stay overnight at Rice Hospital?
That's a good question. No, we haven't even gotten that far yet. As a matter of fact, we will be planning on meeting with the hospital administration to get their feedback and insights on this. Also, I don't know whether we will do some sort of a market analysis or we will just require that as part of the RFP. I've got a feeling we're probably just going to require it as part of the RFP. But you know, that'll be the proof in the pudding is when the group that is considering doing the project puts together a market analysis and appraisal and their plans and stuff like that. They'll have a workable pro forma for the project. So that'll ensure that it's a real thing that can actually come to fruition. But you're right, there needs to be some preliminary, just at least some getting in and getting some interview type feeling for what the level of use might be, whether it's even really needed by the hospital, whether the hospital even would support such an idea, or finds it to be, you know, needed in any way. It's not entirely for the hospital, it's for downtown too. We're hoping that once development starts and we start having a critical mass of population downtown, that a hotel will actually be a good thing, because there are some people that would prefer to, if they do go to a town, stay downtown and be close proximity to walking to whatever entertainment is available. But that said, it is attached, it would be attached to the hotel, I mean to the hospital, and so that is a primary reason for its existence. So yeah, we will try to be doing our due diligence on all those things while we draft this RFP. And you know what? We may get to the point where we're halfway through this RFP and it just does not look like it's a viable thing. And in that case, we won't bring it forward.
Stephanie, do you have a question?
Yeah, I've had a couple of babies at Rice Hospital, and I can tell you my husband would have really appreciated a nice, comfortable place to stay nearby. So I think this is going to be a really good thing. My question is it going to be ran by the hospital or is it ran by an independent company?
Well, it would be owned by a private owner. So they would come in and they would provide everything. It'd be at entirely their cost. I think the only shared cost item would be the tunnel or skyway. I don't think that they would foot the bill for that. I know they're very expensive, so I don't know if the city would have an appetite to pay for it or not. We don't even have any figures on that yet, but I've heard they can be anywhere from, if you get a used structure, a used skyway structure, believe it or not, they're for sale. I've heard they can be anywhere from $80,000 to $250,000 and that's not even installed. So they're very expensive. That's part of the enticement, that somebody's going to come in and put this hotel in there and have this pro forma, and that they are going to get this additional perk of having their having a ready-made client, so to speak, through the Skyway.
Cletus, go ahead. Then Steve. Cletus, you're muted.
Dave, you've indicated on the city map the two locations of a possible site for this type of a project. Both of those locations on both the east and the west side of the hospital are now the primary parking locations for the people downtown, including the businesses and the residents. How would your project be addressing parking?
Right. Depending on the site, we are hoping that they will have below ground parking in addition to some very minimal surface parking. And you're correct. Some of this planning is going to require probably incentivizing some ramps or something else. If this thing were to really take off, if we had three large multifamily housing developments go up, parking incentive and either the city building it, or which is a lot of cities do, or incentivizing a ramp to be developed, either it as some sort of a camouflage type of a design, as Sarah's mentioned a few times, that would have to come. At this point, downtown is far from having a traffic problem and is far from having a parking problem, but that'll be a good problem to have, and we would have to quickly address it to fix it.
Some of those parking incentives and considerations are also a part of the review process as well. So that's definitely a piece that we're pushing, especially with new development and considering the ripple effects of parking in this area for those. Those developments too.
Steve, go ahead.
Thank you, Christina. Question for Sarah. This is moving off that particular topic now. There's a couple or three of us, I forget what it is, that are leaving the commission in a couple of months. How are you fixed for persons interested in coming on to the commission? Is that do you need suggestions or if any of us happen to know anybody who might be interested with the right push? People that.
Yeah. So yourself, as well as Ralph, will both be retiring at the end of this year. And then I have to look. There's one other person that I think is up for, there should be one other person up for renewal. That actually might technically be Stephanie, because I think I think it's actually Stephanie, because Jerry was up for renewal at the end of this year. So you're essentially, like, the first couple of months of your appointment have been your, like, term zero. And then you will have the opportunity to then renew for your first full term, which would be a 3-year term, at the end of this year. So we, in soliciting for Jerry's position, we actually received 3 applicants. So what we've asked the two that we received after Stephanie's was if they were interested in waiting until January to start, and they both indicated that they were. So we're kind of just waiting to send those through council for approval. As long as they're still interested at the beginning of the year. So if all goes well, we have those two positions filled, which is really exciting, but we still have vacancies on Board of Zoning Appeals, and we really, really would like to fill those. So if you know of anybody in the community that maybe wants to you know, start getting involved with land use and planning commission like things, the Board of Zoning Appeals reviews variances and any appeals that might come forward from a staff or a planning commission decision. The chair of that board would also sit on the Heritage Preservation Commission when reviewing some of those nominations for the Heritage District zone as well. So it would be great to get some more names in with interest for that, for those vacancies.
Thank you.
Any other miscellany? If not, I believe I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion made. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? You signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you all very much.